I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any additions to agenda or changes? Just talked with Krista Crandall from the Board of the Management of the Road and Conclusion National Forest in Lake Monroe. And I'd like her to make a little announcement to us.
Thank you.
If you do that now, just come up to the podium.
All right, thank you. All right. This is for everybody,
sure,
too.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and do that.
Okay. On April 22nd, which is next Monday, at...
Put your mic on.
Oh, sorry. Okay. There we
go. It's on top there. It should work.
Okay. Turn it on?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so I'm here from the Friends of Lake Monroe, which is a group to help protect the water quality in the watershed of Lake Monroe, which happens to be mostly in Brown County, and also kind of natural. I don't know if that's totally relevant, but they buy some finished water from Flemington, which gets all their water from Lake Monroe. But anyway, our goal is to help protect the water quality in Lake Monroe. And anyway, there's going to be a community forum on the management of Hoosier National Forest, because there's been a proposal to do some management practices in one of the watersheds of the lake that is, we feel, is going to impact the water quality. So it's going to be next Monday, April 22nd, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Monroe County Public Library in one of their auditoriums. So April 22nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and it's a community forum to discuss the Hoosier National Forest Management, and it's going to be a panel staffed by the head of the Hoosier National Forest, Michael Chavez, Jeff Stant, who's been a longtime advocate for forest protection and, you know, environmental protection for forest, and then also Sherry Mitchell Brooker, who's the president of Friends of Lake Monroe.
So a good portion of Brown County feeds into that.
Yeah, 60% of the watershed of Lake Monroe is in Brown County. However, we do not use a very much of that watershed water because it runs off in 3 days, literally. You get a storm here and there just doesn't sink in the soil, as we all know, and it's gone. And it ends up in Lake Monroe, and then they use it for their water supply. But we do buy a little bit back from them, Town of Nashville, finished water at a very, you know, costly. So... anyway, I hope y'all, or hope at least we can get a representation from Brown County. I live here, and I'm on the board of Friends of Lake Monroe, and so I'm trying to, you know, think of Brown County interests on that board and, you know, protection of Lake Monroe water.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is all this on your website?
Yes, Friends of Lake Monroe website. The community forum will be listed there, but it's next Monday, Monroe County Public Library. So, hope y'all come too. Thank you.
Thank you. We have to approve the minutes. Take a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve March minutes.
Second.
Made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next item is the Knollsburg redevelopment sock factory money.
Hello, Council. My name is Adrian O'Shea. I am the president of the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation. And I've got a letter here that I've handed out to you guys. I have a few extra copies if anyone else might need this. But I just wanted to read this real quick. In September 2011, the Four Bare Feet Sock Factory in Helmsburg was damaged in a fire and subsequently relocated. The owner of the factory, Sharon Rivenbark, cared about the Helmsburg community and knew that the loss of the business would have a significant economic impact on the town. So she decided the property would be donated to the county to sell under the condition that the profits go back to Helmsburg. Those profits ended up being around $200,000. Around 2016, a small group of citizens began meeting to discuss ways that we might improve and revitalize Helmsburg. With the help of the Brown County Redevelopment Commission, the group quickly gained members and momentum, established a board, bylaws, filed articles of incorporation, and was granted 501c3 status in 2018 as the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation. We have held monthly meetings, organized yearly cleanup days, obtained Welcome to Helmsburg signs, two on State Road 45, one on Helmsburg Road, helped the Brown County Community Church send Christmas gifts to children in underprivileged countries, welcomed two new Habitat for Humanity homes, and soon will be gaining a third, and obtained grants for the complete repair and replacement of the stormwater drain system throughout the town, as well as boosted the overall morale and pride in our small community. Other ideas and needs that have been discussed include installing potentially new streetlights, replacing and adding more sidewalks, building a community park, creating a community garden, and obtaining an emergency siren, but we are limited by our current funding. Sharon Rivenbart shared her dream with Helmsburg years ago, and the HCD appreciates the past and ongoing support of the County Council, the Commissioners, and the Brown County RDC. The Helmsburg Community Group has been proven to be worthy, responsible advocates. We take our fiduciary responsibility very seriously. We request the funds that were earmarked for Helmsburg potentially be released to the HCD so that we can continue to benefit the families that are there. We do thank you, County Council, for your time and consideration, and I'm open to questions if you guys have any questions.
I want to say I appreciate the work that you've given me.
Thank you. I think we appreciate it too. So,
do you know that she donated to the county under the condition that the profits go to Helmsburg specifically?
That's kind of what we've been told. I don't know if it is written down, but if it is not, then
it is not.
I'm going to find what group she talked to about this, and I mean, if it's commissioners, request minutes from those meetings. I mean,
I've been through the minutes, I've been through the deeds, I've been through all of it. There's nothing specifically stated of where this money is to be spent.
We're not necessarily against you, we're just trying to track down how this plays out.
Yeah.
So. All right, I'm going to step in here because I've got, we'll get this conversation started. Okay.
Well, you know, on that point, old Darren and Judy were around because years ago, back, trying to think, Kreitzer was president, and wasn't the fellow that just passed away from cancer, wasn't he the person that actually sold the property?
Evan Worley.
Yeah, wasn't he the one that...
Yes.
It was always the understanding that that money, the proceeds from the sale of that, were to go towards that area. I don't know if it was ever written down, but I don't think anybody at that time that was on the commissioners or council would have disagreed with the intent of where that money was to go. So that was what eight. I mean, Evan just passed away a few years ago, but I mean, this was like 10 years ago, wasn't it? I remember I was in uniform managing traffic down at the, you know, during the fire back years ago. When it actually caught fire, so it was some time ago, right?
I think it sold in 2014. I think it's about $400,000.
I think it was 2012, 2013.
Yeah, I know some of it's been used for some stuff.
$200,000 for the stormwater project.
Yes. Correct.
Well, you know, keep searching minutes, but I think there's enough people here with an understanding of what we all knew what the intent of the proceeds was for. So.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, we are not looking to like get the money and just go blow this somewhere, right? We really have been trying to think methodically about what we want for our community. We'd love to bring businesses in. We'd love to get a little bit of marketing, maybe put a website out there or something like that, and try to gain some traction for some of our projects. And, you know, some of the projects that we want to do, we're going to need some kind of match or something like that. So those are the kind of things that we've been thinking about. Like I said, what I put here is not set in stone. It's just some of the stuff that as a group we thought, What better way to improve our community?
As was alluded to, there was originally roughly $400,000 for the sale, and yeah. I believe about $150,000 or some of that nature was used to service storm waters in Helmsburg.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want to give everybody in the room a little bit of history because I've got, first of all, I'm extremely biased. Okay, so just as a disclosure, I'm biased, very subjective, because of my 18-month experience working with you all to get to where we got to the point of the CDC.
Yeah.
It was probably the first quarter of 2017 that, actually, you, Dave Redding, is the one that came to me and said, hey, Kemp, you want to go work with Helmsburg? And I looked at you and said, yeah, that's fine, but I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but I guess I can figure it out. And what happened is we had some really contentious meetings. It was an interesting experience. But we got into it, and I didn't know, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and got into it, and one night we're in a meeting, and I said, well, wait a minute, I mean, Helmsburg's, I mean, you guys are a municipality, right? And they're like, no. I said, what do you mean you're not a municipality? You got Helmsburg, you got a post office. No. And so then I find out that the only political subdivision in the county is Nashville. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Knobbone is just a nickname for a spot on the map. Same thing with Bean Blossom, same thing with Story. So I left and came back that following month, and then I pitched the idea about going to the commissioner's office and seeing about setting up Helmsburg as a real political subdivision. And I was a little scared because I thought they were going to take me out back and hang me from the highest tree. So I knew that one wasn't going to fly. So left, and it was maybe a couple months later that we did some research and we found out about this concept of a community development corporation, which is in practice, you know, all throughout the U.S. And, you know, so, and one of the target points with the CDC is to deal with the subject of blight. And that was the reason Cindy Steele, I believe, you guys all got organized yes. back in probably the fall of 2016, because you guys had a real blighted mess on your hands.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you did. And so that, and during that period, I worked with that lovely lady right there. And how are you? Another one next to that we need to give you an award. Well, we do. She managed the Helmsburg Regional Sewer District for what? How many years?
Oh, forget it.
Okay. It never got paid a dime.
Pitchforks are coming out again.
Yeah, pitchforks are coming out again. All right, I'll try to shorten this up. So, there was a lot of effort. There was a lot of energy that we all, you know, that you guys put into that. For us to finally get to the point to where we were able to file for that C Corp, we were able to file for the not-for-profit, the 501c3 status. You know, I remember going over there and working to help clean things up. And so this, and during that 18 months, okay, the public perception of everybody over there in that community, which is a pretty tight community, is that sock factory money is theirs. And the challenge with the sock factory money is that if we go back into the history, I believe the reason that regional sewer district was built to begin with was because of the sock factory. Was it not?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
What started that, Harrietta?
The Board of Health, Indianapolis, Indiana. The State Board of Health.
Okay.
They came down and told us, well, actually, they went to the commissioners, told the commissioners, well, you either put sewers in Helmsburg or we will, and you will pay for them. So the commissioners is the one that brought us on board.
Okay. So what my concern with, you know, $228,600 is a really small amount of money in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have no idea how much money you guys have got sitting in the bank. Do you know right off the top of your head?
$4,200.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, my thought with this is that I'm in full support of transferring that $228,600 to the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation. Now, my intent is not for the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation to all of a sudden feel like we're rich and we're going to go out and just burn through that $228,600 like somebody, right? All right. Because that's my concern over here on the county side, is I don't want to see the $226,000 get nickeled and dimed, and then a few years from now that money's gone. And the reason I make that claim is I know the RDC for a three-year period beginning in 2020 dropped somewhere in the neighborhood of $26,000, and we have absolutely nothing to show for it. So my fear, because it's fear, is that we will nickel and dime the 228.6, it goes away. So I'm thinking that best practices, it would make sense to transfer that money to Helmsburg. Right now, with the Fed funds rate being at what it is, you can go buy a CD for 5%, right? I'm not advocating that you leave it in a CD, because those rates will at some point in time come back down. But you can invest that money, right? Invest it wisely. And at 200 grand at 5% would generate $10,000 for the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation, a year in revenue, and perpetuity. You guys then could take that $10,000. You then could, if you wanted to do a, I mean, you guys, you know, I'm waiting for you to have some big giant yard sale, because I'll bring a semi-truck load of stuff over I need to get rid of. But it would create an opportunity for you all to have some seed capital to try to pursue some other venues to help generate more additional revenue for the Helmsburg CDC. And that's where I'm at. And I'm, you know, again, I'm as biased as I can be, all right, because I've got an affinity because of the work that we did for 18 months. So.
Jim, question?
Yeah.
You want them to invest it so they can generate revenue?
Yeah. Yeah, think of it this way. I mean, I do it every day at work, okay? Somebody retires, they got $1 million in investable assets, right? So we invest the portfolio. And it's safe to say you can use, the safe number is 4% distribution rate. So if you got $1 million, you can pull 4%, that's 40 grand a year in retirement income, right? And if you invest the assets wisely and you don't, you know, make irrational, emotional decisions based on market volatility, then theoretically there's a high probability that that income will run for, you know, 30 plus years. So this is an opportunity for them, and you know, now if they're just going to take the money and go out here and buy stupid stuff with it, then you know, we might want to hang on to it. But if they, you know, so my thought is that you get the money, put it in the CD. I would be again willing to help facilitate, but set up an investment policy committee with it, right? Write it up, put it in document, all the do what you can do, what you can't do, to prevent any future boards from going in there and invading the corpus, the principal. That way, that generates a new revenue stream that they currently do not have. They got $4,200. And my concern for the health and well-being of your organization is if we don't get an influx of revenue in there, you know, and that and you're not, in, you know, you're, you only have $4,200. I mean, you could spend that to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I would hate to see them run out of money, get frustrated, the whole thing just dissolves, you know, and everybody kind of walks away. And I don't want to see that happen, because the other part of it is too, keep in mind, if the Round County Regional Sewer District, you know, we'll see what happens, but if that 13-mile collection system from Woodland Lake down to Lake Linden goes through, you know, that could potentially change the demographics from Helmsburg all the way to Monroe County.
Exactly what we're thinking, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. And so I we've got an opportunity here, and, you know, and I'm trying to be rational, trying to be objective, even though I'm extremely biased. But I, to me, you know, to me, it just makes good common sense.
Yeah, I have a question. Technically, we didn't know if the property was owned. Some question about the Parks Department may have been involved in this. And we checked on the deed, and it was deeded and sold underneath the commissioners. Now, I was curious as to the legality of any of this, Susan, if you have any insight on this as to how this may work out in a county environment.
Well, to add to that, while you're thinking, that's kind of a broad question.
Yes.
It is very broad.
But, you know, it's,
you may not have the answer, so don't feel obligated.
The other thing we want to just make sure we are careful about is if, you know, Sharon gave money to the county for this purpose, right, and the Helmsburg Development Corporation didn't exist then, or maybe she
she would have given it to them, maybe she wouldn't have, who knows, probably, we don't know. But she gave it to the county and had some or no limitations on it documented, depending on who you listen to. But, you know, the other thing that comes to mind is just knowing the economic development world, knowing small nonprofits is, I'm guessing you don't have a grant administrator, an accountant, and an attorney, and a financial advisor, and a, right? So you're limited your capacity to do, basically, you know, I think everyone would want to leverage that money, right, to make 200 into a million, yeah, which is possible, very possible, if you have the right capacity. And so, you know, I'm also wondering if, as another option to help you get leverage that money, and if in fact it's Helmsburg money, which it sounds like there's varying opinions on it, but, you know, with our grant administrator, I mean, the county already holds the money, right? Sharon gave it to the county. That was her decision. And for, you know, let's say it's for the Helmsburg purpose, you know, we could also help you administer that funding. That's another option I would, you know, maybe, Jim, I don't know if you considered that, but, you know, with kind of to your point of investment policies and investment strategy boards that have to be created, now you've got to get, it gets a little complicated for a small group, but I think we could also help them identify a project, bring grant resources to the table, help provide the match and the tracking for those grants, which if you're going for state federal grants, it's not fun, right? You have to have people working to track it, or else you won't get those grants in the future, which, you know, we want to rinse and repeat this kind of process, right? Just continue to grow and invest in Helmsburg. So, I mean, there's kind of a second angle there that I think, if Jim, if, I don't know what you think about that, but as a way to, I mean, it's actually, I mean, what I'm proposing would be more than the $200,000 would go to Helmsburg, right? In addition to that, community resources, county that you really need, probably.
The spelling. We're not going to turn that down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you'd be crazy. No. Really. I mean, I think you need it, right? Yeah. This is going to be successfully deployed to do what you're talking about here. You're going to need a lot of other pieces and parts that you probably don't have on hand right now. Right?
Yeah, I will tell you guys, we really take that responsibility very seriously. I mean, that's why I think the RDC was the one that gave us that, like, 5,000. All those years ago, back in 2018. Well, we still have money from that because, you know, we got an award here and got some money from it and those kind of things, and we're trying to really do the best we can with it. I can also say I have been president since it started. These suckers keep voting me in, so I don't see me going anywhere anytime soon. But I'm tell you what, I feel a complete 180 of my pride of living in that community than I did just before this group, honestly, in 2018. I felt like when I came home, it felt crappy. I didn't want to, you know, everything around it felt gross. And now, I mean, the fallen in homes are gone. You know, we're getting new neighbors. We're excited about the hospital being where it is now. The sewers. We've got a lot of potential, and that's why we felt like it might be a good time to finally come to you guys. We're not a fly-by-night group. We've been around 6 years now, and I really feel like we've kind of gotten our bearings. We're extremely proud that the biggest project that we wanted to do got done with the stormwater. I mean, the quality of life has really gone up there. So I appreciate you guys listening to me and talking about this. So
if I could, you know, the other thing that you mentioned, which is, you know, or maybe Jim mentioned it, as attracting business. Yeah, I think he mentioned attracting, you know, what if we could repopulate the fig tree,
yeah,
you know, building the brick, whatever. You've had some successes there, you know, on Sharon's old property, in fact. But, you know, the county as a whole lacks that economic development capacity as well, right? I call it capacity. It's a person. You know, I don't know that we've ever had one. I was director for the town for 5 years. But, and so I'm wondering, you know, through some of these other grants that we're looking at that are on our work session tomorrow, you know, there's funding for that. You know, that's a piece of your challenge, right? How do we attract people to the area? We know water pressure may be an issue, capacity is an issue. You know, so there are several pieces to your puzzle that you're taking on a lot here, right? This is a big kind of you're trying to operate as a town and without all the funding and staffing, and, you know, it's very difficult, so.
Let's be your spark.
What's that?
Let's be your spark.
Yeah, yeah, well, you're.
We'll let this catch and run, and we want to be able to give, not just to our community, part of us, I mean, we want to give to the whole county, you know, but, you know, we've made some good strides, and I'm very proud of it, so, anyway, yes. If there, we are looking for any kind of help that would be associated with it, you know, any kind of investment help, grants, any of that stuff. But as Jim said, we have $4,200, can't really do much. We are nickel and diming that right now because that's all we have. That's no income rate, so.
I'd like to say, I mean, having attended their meetings from the start, I have seen what they've done, what they have done with Helmsburg as community residents, I mean, as just who want to take pride in the community, what they have done has been fantastic. The involvement, I said they're still, you know, what, 7 years later, still meeting. That $5,000 grant from the RDC, that's what, the, I mean, seven, what, six, 7 years later, they still have 4,200 of it left. And I said, you know, they've been doing things to the community, renting dumpsters for
cleanup days.
Yeah, the whole, a full roll-off. You know, anybody in town, you got something to throw away.
It turned into like five, didn't it? Or it went from one to like, yeah, it kept, I saw.
At one time, there were a couple.
Yeah, we've had a couple before, but yeah. And we've got another one of those coming up. So obviously another expense that is kind of going out, so.
Having seen what they're doing, I can tell you this is a group that takes the community serious. I know where they're coming from.
Thank you, Darren.
So, Susan, do you have any familiarity with anything like this?
Sure. Obviously, I'm not from Helmsburg, so it's interesting to hear the things that are going on. You know, generally speaking, understand, when people donate things to the county, essentially the county can use it for any government purpose. Right? Understand that. They gave it to the county. So if there's nothing in writing that says here was the condition on this gift to the county can use it for any government purpose. Now, I don't know that that's what you all want to do, but that answers your question about what happens when things are donated to a government entity. So outside of that, I have some thoughts on, you know, ways to potentially get them money, but that involves some other things that are out of my wheelhouse and need Greg's attention on, in terms of, you know, is it a TIF district? What does a TIF district do? But then does that take away from the school? And then, you know, things of that nature, right? So you have to study something like that before you just throw it out there and say, this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, my other thoughts on Jim's proposal of, you know, having a trust corpus and investing and getting some return from them every year, you know, investigate potentially people who already do that as opposed to recreating the wheel. So why not use your community foundation for something like that? So I don't know what their typical grant rate is, but I mean, they're already in that business of doing that, and they have an investment policy, and you could do things like that. I, you know, so those are fast thoughts on this. Obviously, you know, again, I'm not from this area, and this is not a decision that I make. Nothing's a decision that I make. So, but those are just some quick answers to a couple of things.
It's not something we can vote on and resolve tonight. I mean, there's a lot.
No.
There's a lot.
Wait a minute. I don't know where you're coming up with. How are you coming up with that assumption that we can't act on this evening? Pardon me?
You told us we can't make rash decisions.
So this isn't a rash decision. It's Helmsburg's money.
And your body's
free to talk about. Yeah, that's true. I disclosed it, so it's okay.
I think there's things that, well, we've got a meeting, or we'll have a meeting tomorrow with Greg, and, you know, we've got other stuff coming up. By next meeting, we can look into options, financing.
Yeah, well, I feel really strong about this.
Oh, I do too.
Okay, good. I have seen
what they've done, and I want them to continue doing what
keep in mind, Darren,
I just want to explore options.
The last work session we had, the last work session there, when I think I threw everybody under the bus and said, hey, we got $228.6, you guys want to give that to the Sheriff's Department? Okay, nobody said a word. And then Greg stepped in. And there was a little bit of conversation about the flexibility of this money and how it can be used. And if my memory serves me correctly, the county can, we as a council can do whatever the council decides to do.
I would like to make sure it goes to the...
I would too. I'm going to pull real hard for Helmsburg community. Because I really, you know, it to me, it's an investment in our county, okay? And, you know, and then the other thing too, that for those that may not be aware, years ago, because this took me by surprise, years ago, there was a battle between Helmsburg and Niceville. And Niceville was actually thriving. You guys had a car dealership, had all sorts of stuff. Helmsburg had it. Yeah, and Helmsburg was going to be the county seat. And Niceville said, oh, no, you're not. And so Niceville went to Helmsburg and burned it down.
Allegedly.
So after, I don't know if that was 200 years ago or how long ago, but it would, I think it would be in the county's best interest to take this little bit of money and make certain that the Helmsburg Community Development Corporation continues in the future. Right, so the county, so we as a county can work with them, because we've got, you know, there's a lot of things going on. You know, there's talk about a comprehensive plan, right? So, and there's a lot of questions that have to be asked that we've got to find answers to before we can do anything. But I would like to see us, if we could table this until next month, but then I would like to see us make a decision next month on this. I don't want us to discuss it, it goes away, and then we never circle back and don't follow through.
I agree.
Is that fair?
Yeah. We'll work towards that and hopefully have due diligence in order to make the decision.
Okay.
Well, you know, you realize had this legal entity been established when Evan finished the deal, the money would have never gone into the county, it would have gone into this, yeah, this entity. Mm-hmm. And when you went out as part of the RCD, RDC, to help them set up. I mean, that was a milestone, because now they're starting to transact and they've got local leadership and people speaking. And Scott, you confused me because you implied if we move that money from where it's at to Helmsburg, then they don't get any other help and access to the resources you mentioned. And I didn't want to fall on your logic there, because we're here to help you no matter where that money is. And I think the longer this sets in the general fund, the more people like me and Darren and others disappear, and we forget what Kreitzer and Biddle and all those other people did with Evan initially. So because nothing's written down or that type of thing. So
Dave, what were you confused about with my statement again? What was that? You're confused about something?
You were talking about all this additional support and things like that, and you implied that if the money stayed where it was, they would get that the way I heard it, so I probably heard it wrong. And no matter where the money's at, they should have access to grant writers and all the resources that the county has, no matter where that money is.
Yeah, you do, but the point was, if you don't have all the pieces and parts to, you know, manage the funding and, you know, operate as a foundation or where a corporate, you know, the county already has all those pieces in place, and we can help you today, not 6 months from now or a year from now on the financial piece. So I think that's the part you misunderstood.
And we have no problem reaching out and asking for that help. You know what you know, and you need help for the rest. So if this were to move to us, yeah, I'll be at this meeting a whole lot more, I'm sure.
I've seen you do that. I said I've witnessed some amazing things that you've had in the county for information and guidance. And, Helmsburg was an amazing community in Brown County, but it wasn't for Helmsburg and Train Depot and its central hub. Brown County wouldn't be what it is. And,
hey, Darren.
Helmsburg is kind of...
I'd like to bring the airport back.
Unfortunately,
private airport, jets.
I think that designation is kind of going. I've seen amazing things. I've seen amazing things happening that are going to potentially bring Helmsburg back to.
Okay, would you be willing to come next Tuesday?
Well, I feel we should table it, and I think that we should work with them if we so desire, to see that they have all the parts and pieces put in place to do all the right and necessary things to protect the assets and continue forward. That's my thoughts.
Would you be able by chance to come to a meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock here?
Probably. I probably can.
Yeah, because the Community Foundation will be here. We will probably discuss it briefly. And as someone brought up, the Community Foundation may play an integral part in this. So it would be good one step towards that.
You know what? Yes, I'll make the time. I can be here at 9.
All right.
I'll do anything for it, partner.
Appreciate that. All right, so do we have to vote to table it or just...
Is that a motion?
I didn't make a motion, but I can.
Sure, or well.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, I make a motion that we table the Helmsburg situation for this evening and work with them to make all of the right decisions and preparations for things to move forward for their for the money that they're requesting and that we have in our county coffers.
You're making a motion to table it till next month. And the objective is to have the work done. We're going to have everything done, and so that next month we can make a motion, get a second, and make a decision.
That's correct.
Okay.
Was that an amended motion?
Clarification.
Take a second. Just shorten something.
Anyone second it?
I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
I could give my number out to any of you guys for contact for some of this information.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.
Good.
Tim?
Can I also ask if there's a need to have written documentation, if you don't have a Davis for people like me to remember what the intent was on behalf of the
if that develops your
I just want to provide a little more background information on Helmsburg because if you were going to have an example of a redevelopment or development project in the county, that's it. They're the model. They came to us, Dave, you recall, back in 2017, Cindy Steele did. And if you walk through Helmsburg then, I think Adrian mentioned that. Wow. You had dilapidated homes, fallen down homes, collapsed homes. You had a lot of different issues between neighbors and this and that. And so Cindy came to the RDC and said, hey, can you guys help us out? And so we started investigating what would it take to buy up some of these properties or do something that involved the county money. And so we worked with Barnes and Thornburg for probably a good year. And Cindy, and along with the support of the community, developed an economic development plan, or EDA, an economic development area. So there's a map and there's a plan, and they identified exactly what they wanted and did not want. And that followed, you know, state guidance. And almost immediately, then the paper started covering it. So I've got a very detailed timeline of the Helmsburg story out on my blog, and I'll give you guys a copy. It goes back to, you know, from the beginning. I think I just updated with a current article. But if you recall, the first thing that happened once the county got involved is the Pools bought up three of the homes. Remember that one?
Yep.
They bought up three. And then there was like... And then there's a couple other areas, the houses got torn down and replaced with the Habitat for Humanity stuff. Mm-hmm. The houses across the street that were dilapidated, because we took the tour, if you recall, it was pretty bad. And I don't think any of those homes anymore are there, right?
No.
I mean,
there's
is there?
One. Yeah.
Yeah, because they've been fixed. Yeah, okay, that one. So they've been fixed up, people bought them, fixed them up. It's a difference between night and day. And that's just redevelopment. We forget that part. So when you talk about the structure, they've got it. We worked with Barnes and Thornburg, and we went through, you know, when you looked at the paperwork that you needed, they did that. They identified what they want and do not want. CDC was a plus, because then you gave them a structure to manage that. So when you looked at redevelopment for the county, I would say that's probably one of the best success stories we've had on the community getting involved in doing it. And so when you're talking about the comprehensive plan, look at Helmsburg. I mean, look at these different areas and let people identify what they want and do not want in terms of development and get them involved. They're a model. So a lot of great success stories, and you heard you know, where they're at now. And I mean, you just can't make that up. It's just a phenomenal story. So thank you.
And Tim, you spent countless hours with Barnes and Thornburg hammering out the possible scenario. So thank you for all that effort.
Yeah. It was interesting. You learned a lot.
Yeah, I have a question for you. I think I heard Adrian say that the sewer is going to be an essential piece of that success. I mean, do you agree with that?
Sure. I've been an advocate of a plant Helmsburg from day one. Opposed to the bean blossom thing. I always thought it should have been Helmsburg. They were always had the need. And so, yeah, I've always been an advocate of Helmsburg and the sewer plant and expansion in that area, always.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Next item on the agenda is solid waste. Need an additional appropriation.
Right. It's pretty much straightforward. There's two appropriations here, 2024-1 and 2024-2. The first one being in the amount of $10,000, and the second one in the amount of $11,500. There's simply monies we've already won from Indiana Department of Environmental Management grants. We're adding them to the 2024 budget, and that's what these resolutions are. Jim, you got any questions?
Yeah, I mean, okay, put that in lay terms. You got some money from a grant?
Yeah, I got grants.
You got 10 grand from a grant?
Mm-hmm.
20. And you're trying to get pulled out from the state?
No, he's trying to get it. We've already got an award.
So the grant.
It's not out of our general fund, it's out of his general fund.
So you got grant money that dropped into your general fund?
Uh huh.
And you was trying to pull the money out of that general fund, put it in a line item?
Yeah.
So you can go blow the money?
Pretty much.
Feels a good financial
statement.
And everybody,
just FYI, they had a State Board of Accounts audit. Okay, I would hope so. You guys got a perfect audit.
The audit's been certified. It was 100% compliant.
So there you go. So it's a good job. Good job. So this is your money, and you guys got to go.
This is item money.
I know. It's giving you a hard time. So what are you buying with it?
The first one's going to fund Tire Day, which is going to cost close to $10,000.
Is that to shred tires?
To recycle tires, dumpsters.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
And the other ones are a new dumpster for the field, and also the 10 bins to go inside the dumpster.
Okay. Feels clear.
Right. And the tire grant is 100%. There's no match to it.
Cool.
And the second grant for the recycling container is 75%. We match with 25. So those are outstanding grants. And item, I believe, is going to come out with another grant this year toward the end of the year. It is 75% match. So we'll go for that one, too.
Good work, Phil.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
I make a motion that we appropriate these funds. Well,
what are you saying?
Yeah, Gary needs to read your resolution.
Right.
Take a motion. Yep.
Yeah, I gotta read it. I read it. Okay.
Yep, so did one.
Say what?
Oh. You didn't prepare anything.
No. These are already signed by. They didn't need to be signed by. They're just out there.
No. Right, but it needs to be signed by council.
It's signed by council.
It'll have to be, yeah.
None of it is.
No, it's an additional appropriation that you're doing, right? It's either by resolution or ordinance of the council. So these are some of the things we're trying to clean up and make very clear, right?
Just do it the right way.
Yeah, so his board has approved it. He's presented it. Yeah, if you all want to give a nod of the head for today, like an intent to appropriate this for next meeting, we'll have an ordinance for you guys to sign next meeting, and then he can roll with it.
Ordinance or resolution?
Two ordinances. Yeah. If you give me a copy of those, I'll make sure I get it done.
It needs to be ordinance because we're approved out.
Right. I think in January we did it by ordinance, if I remember correctly. So
all we do is give a nod of the head.
Right. So if the motion can be that you give your intent to appropriate these at the next meeting, and then you can take a second and a vote, and then I'll prepare it for you if you don't need Phil to come to the next meeting. He doesn't have to come. You guys, if you all remember that this is what we're intending to do, then we'll move with it.
The motion.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I make a motion that we council give a vote of confidence that we will make make these appropriations when presented with the resolution next month.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next item on the agenda is the auditor.
I'm wanting to appropriate out of my line item of 1216, $19,511.79 for new desks for our office. This money was part of the money that we collected from homesteads for that they doubled homesteads on, and we got money for that. We had hired tax management who came in, and they took a percentage of what we earned, what we actually got back, and then we had this left over.
Questions?
Yep.
I went into Gateway today because I had no idea what 1216 fund is. So I found it in the Gateway in the, was it disbursements and receipts and disbursements. And it's the Auditor's Ineligible Deduction Fund. Can you explain to me what the Auditor's Ineligible Deduction Fund and what receipts, what, you know, who makes the decision? Because like January 1 of 2023, there was 15,160.96 was the beginning cash balance. In 23, we took in 14,618.42. There were disbursements of 56,78,16, and then year end 2023, 24,101.22 was the ending balance. So I'm, as a council member, I have no idea what an auditor's ineligible deduction fund is, number one, and number two, who makes the decision to put the receipts into that fund?
The fund is basically for the auditor's office. The fund is based on deductions that are granted, like your homestead deduction. You, if you have a homestead deduction on the house you live in, which is the only deduction you're allowed, but some people decide that they can have a deduction somewhere else, like Florida,
different county,
or a different state. And if they're caught with that deduction, then we can take our deduction back, which means our money back, the money that we gave them as a deduction.
Right, but if they got the deduction, then that means they paid less in property tax, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so then does the assessor's office send them a bill and say, hey, you owe us more money because you took a deduction?
That's nothing to do with it. It's totally the auditor's office.
Okay, but I guess where does the money come from?
From the individual.
So who sends the individual the bill so that the bill gets it? So the auditor office sends out the invoice.
Tax management system.
So you find these deductions that basically were inappropriate and should have never been taken. And then the auditor's office turns right around and sends the invoice to the property owner and say, here, Joe Schmo, you got 90 days to pay X dollars, correct? So this is error money, or fraudulent.
Fraudulent,
basically, that's what it is. Okay, so that fraudulent money then goes into this bucket, hence deduction, ineligible deduction fund. Okay, and so now you got a little bit of money in there and you want to buy some new workstations.
That's correct.
Essentially.
That's correct.
Okay. So this is not pointed at you, but this is pointed to the rest of the council members. Every year we do a budget, correct? And I believe the whole purpose of doing a budget is that we need to try to live within our means, correct? And so what I, you know, after what, 15 months, appears that there's every month, there's always somebody rolling right back in every month saying, yeah, I know we did a budget, but gee, I was, I need more money. And I need money for this, and I need money for this, and I need money for this. So it's, I guess I'm a little confused that if we do a budget, doesn't that, you know, aren't we supposed to try to live within that budget unless it's some sort of a crisis? You know, if somebody's going to die or we got a major problem, fine, I get that. But if we've got departments saying, well, I decided I want this, so here's some money, and I need some money, and I want to spend it, so here, council, can you give me that money? I know it wasn't in the budget, but that's okay, you guys, just go ahead and approve it. So I'm just, again, this is not pointed at you, so please, this is not, it's not a judgment, it's not personal, it's simply an observation and an awareness of, you know, kind of the culture that it appears to me is how the culture within the county operates, so.
I was always taught that you're not supposed to come and ask for additional appropriations unless it's an emergency. However, it seems like in the past that has happened. I'm not sure about this fund that she's talking about. Is it only for the use of the
auditor's office?
Auditor's office, like the recorder has a perpetuation fund. It can only be used for the recorder's office or the clerk's perpetuation fund, that type of thing. If that's the case, that might be a different scenario. I'm not saying that's the case. But no, I agree with you. It does seem that that happens a lot. We are supposed to live within our budget. I don't disagree.
So you're saying, Jim, that if she'd have done this in September, put in her budget, be okay? No, please don't misconstrue what I said.
I want to find out.
Don't misconstrue what I said.
I'm trying to find out.
Okay, all I know is that when I look in the budget for the auditor's office for 2024, there was nothing in the budget specifically for putting in new desk. Right. Number two, I have no idea what this fund is. Okay. Number three, what I do know is all of a sudden I find myself in a position being asked that we want to spend $19,000. Number four, I have no idea where you came up with that cost. And number five, what the configuration is or anything about it. I have no idea, but it is $19,000. All right. And if we take $19,000 times 24 departments, do the math. And what I also know is that my experience for the last 15 months is this is an ongoing, never-ending, we find ourselves appropriating. All right? And as soon as we get done with this, another thing, because I've got another old business that should have been on the old business that isn't. So this, my comment isn't per se picking on the auditor's office. I'm just trying to acknowledge a trend, something that goes on. And when I think of a budget, I think, okay, we get a budget, I put it in there, and, you know, we got to, because we as the council are the ones that carry the full responsibility of the fiscal policy of this county. And so if there are any financial issues, or for example, Gary, you sent me a text yesterday from Scott County about an issue that they've got going on right down there now. So that's the council's responsibility. It's not the commissioners, not anybody else, it's ours. So it's an awareness issue, right? It's a policy issue. It's, you know, it's part of the county's culture. So it's not meant to pick on you or you.
I know you're not picking on us, but we are not asking for an additional appropriation.
We are.
This money
is there.
Is there.
And we went after this money for
we
this
did
money.
It.
Okay, and you know what? That's fine if I can find that in through. I don't know. I'm not. You're making a claim, but what I don't know is if the claim that you're making, where's the documentation and the fact pattern to support that claim? Because what I do know, my experience in the last 15 months, you know, operating within Brown County, is a lot of people will make claims presented as truth, but when push comes to shove, just like when you got involved and found out that, you know, what was it, a few months ago, that the county council had historically established a precedence to create job definitions and pay grades. And I don't know who brought that up, but then all of a sudden we find out that no, that's not the way it's supposed to work statutorily. All right, so I don't know, Julie, and I'm not, you know, where is that?
I'll give you everything I can find.
So is that a statute? Is that the DLGF that says that? Is that the State Board of Accounts that says that? Do all departments have monies that, gee, if I collect enough and speeding tickets? So I don't know, and I get it's a lack of.
Hey Jim, I think Greg can answer this question.
Right.
Why don't we just table it? If you can live another month of that, we can discuss it next month. We'll get Greg here, or maybe tomorrow.
Whatever he asks.
Yeah, we'll get Greg to answer the questions tomorrow if he's here, and we'll just move on.
I don't feel like he's basically stealing money.
Yeah, we just, no, he's not.
That's true with what I said.
Yeah, that's not what he's saying.
That's how it came out.
It's accountability.
This is an issue of accountability.
We will make sure you have what you want and follow.
And all I want is everybody, all of us, to be accountable.
Let's go.
Couple of quick questions to make clear enough. Okay, this, the ineligible deduction fund is not something you can budget out of the general fund, correct?
No.
It's something that's used for discretionary spending such as replacing workstations.
Yeah.
So if she'd have budgeted for it, we'd have to spend it out of the general fund. Right now she's spending it out of a fund specifically designated for it.
You can budget out of those funds as well. If it's a non-reverting fund that's established, is it established by ordinance?
It is a, I'll get it for you.
Okay.
I mean, I like where you're talking about that. I think we should budget out of all funds regardless of where, right? So you can, but yeah, I see your point too, though.
Yeah.
It was just populated with funding, right? It wasn't there.
Right.
So it's kind of a new fund. And so there's
populated with funding that came from the homesteads that we
found.
And now she's paying for something that's needed to be, has needed to be done, but you didn't want to put in the budget because we didn't really have the money for it because we were trying to tighten the budget. Now
Thank you
have an expense. Yes. Now you have funds to be able to pay for it.
Okay.
We have a comment from the audience.
Well,
could you identify yourself?
My name is Kathleen Bedroom. I'm a taxpayer. So, sitting here listening to this.
Can you go up to the podium so they can,
please.
Can all hear me?
There's people online who are trying to track this.
So, sitting here listening to this, I'm assuming that every department has to come up with a budget. 2023, you guys came up with a budget for 2024. So why is this even an issue?
Well, that's partially my concern. It almost sounds like it's extra budgetal, meaning
right.
like it's outside of our normal budget, and you're saying it's any fund is budgetal, term I used.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to appropriate out of this fund in order to spend the money, so it's an additional appropriation again.
But it should have been part of... It should have been part of their budget to begin with.
Well, the money,
there was no money there without the homesteads being done. That's the whole problem with budgeting this particular fund. There's no money in there all the time. The only time there's money in there is if you go after fraudulent homeowners.
It's kind of like Phil's grant. The money wasn't there in January, so we couldn't budget it. Now it's there. I mean, you can budget things that were cash there, but I think this is a middle of the road.
But is that money actually extra? Or is
it's new money.
It's new, but
new,
but are you still working in a deficit? So it's really
But it's a different fund also. This is a fund that, if correct, and we need documentation on that, can only be used for auditor's purposes within the auditor's department.
We need to flesh this out as we're talking about tomorrow at another meeting with financial consultant and such and legal. And Julie's going to give us more information. This is something new we haven't dealt with before, this particular fund.
If I could offer a few words, I think what Jim's talking about, there's two things that need to be, that we have an opportunity to improve our processes on. One is how you deal with new incremental funds that happen after the DLGF approves our budget for the upcoming year. So we got that at 1782 towards the end of last year. So what do you do with money, incremental money that appears in 2024? And that's what the request is. There's some incremental money that's shown up and they're asking, can we be appropriated that for uses of office furniture? I personally think, and I don't have numbers to prove this, but I personally think the area that we should work on first as a process is for departments that are underspent, because when you're underspent, that money will most, unless it's in a special fund, will roll back into the general fund for the next to be reappropriated for next year. But there's no incentive for the department owner or people in that department. It's a spend it or lose it, right? And so this is a little early in the year, but we'll see a lot of this as we get towards October, November, where, hey, I'm underspent by 10 grand, let me go out and buy X for the office, or let me upgrade my, I'm just pulling weird stuff out of the air. But we don't have a process around that either. And they don't need to ask for appropriations then unless it's moving between certain line numbers. They'll have to come back to us. But this area here is pretty good about having the money, the underspent money in certain areas where they know what they're going to do with it towards the end of the year to avoid use it or lose it. And I think that's some, again, I don't have numbers to back this up, but I'm surprised if that's a bigger number than 13,000.
My issue is, and what I was trying to address, this is really with the council, because we as a council never have the opportunity to meet where all seven of us are together. Fair? Okay. So, see, except for once a month, and that's it. Avoid of that, we cannot legally have a meeting, and we've never had one since I took office January 1 of 2023.
We can't have a legal meeting.
My point that we don't have a process for either side of that issue.
I'm gonna agree with you. I can back this up, but we lack. We need to focus on our processes, and we need to focus on the volatility of our revenue. We need to focus on the volatility of our line items and our expenses. And, you know, my concern is that they're, you know, again, this is not a judgment towards anyone. It's, you know, simply an observation, and that observation is simply this, is that it appears to be a somewhat, and, you know, I'm probably going to get hung for this, but there's kind of an entitlement mindset that, my gosh, this is what we want to do, and we're going to do that, so we'll just go to the council, and there's an expectation that the council should just approve it. Now, I don't know if that's fair, but, you know, in case in point, I've got the agenda today, and I brought it, and I got the copy of the minutes, but we had, back on, to dovetail with this was January the 16th meeting, and, right, you know, this is January, and right out of the gate, in January, we have the county clerk came in, hit us up for an additional $12,000 so that the county could hire, so the clerk's office could hire someone on a temporary basis because they have an employee that has some health issues and it was off work. And the agreement was for them to circle back, update us on that, right? But we haven't followed up on that. Okay, I don't know what's going on with that. Is that, are we still paying another employee? And then the other thing I don't know is we've got an employee that I don't know how long they've been off work, but how long will we continue to pay an employee to be sick? I don't know. But when I, you know, that situation, you know, when I look at that, that's the council's responsibility. And so we have a responsibility to ask those questions, and the challenge with it is the questions we have to ask. A lot of time there's not a lot of feel good, you know, vis-a-vis Julie who walked out and left. So it...
You might have been a little rough on her, Jim. It was a little... Well, I know you weren't intending to, but...
No, I wasn't intending to point fingers at anybody. I'm just simply, we are the council... We are, and you know, you can pull it up, you can look at the books, I've got it documented, but the council's role and responsibility is the ultimate decision maker over fiscal policy of the county. Not the commissioners, not any other department. It is the county council's responsibility to do that. So I have a responsibility to ask questions, and that's the reason I ask questions about this fund, because I have no idea what it is, not a clue what revenue comes into it or anything else. But do I not, as a council member, have a responsibility to educate myself so when I do make a decision, I'm making a decision that is in the best interest of the county?
I think what's going...
I can do that.
I think what's going...
Have you been to the clerk's office and checked on that employee?
Pardon me?
Have you been to the clerk's office and checked on that employee?
No, I've not been to the clerk's office to check on the employee, okay?
So,
because the agreement with the Perlita Banks was for the Perlita Bank was to come back before the county council and update us as a group.
There are a number of things.
Actually, the action item out of that was she was supposed to go to the commissioner since we got fired of doing job descriptions. She needed a job description.
Oh, that's true.
To make it legal for the auditors to pay this additional employee. and we haven't heard anything on that. So we fully support the clerk, and I think most, my opinion is most of the department heads are doing a wonderful job with their team and trying to keep things, you know, with the wheels on the bus, so to speak. And, you know, they're just trying to get their organization through 2024 best they can. But that particular one, we need somebody to come back with a job description. Right. Otherwise, you can't legally pay them.
Right. So. Anyway. Hey, I think we've got about three or four things that are all the same nature, and that is greater need for policies and procedures and closing the loop. That's one key procedure we need to do. So this will be an opportunity for us to tighten up the ship. Appreciate that, Jim.
Yeah, right.
You missed my point. We need to track this underspend.
I know.
Okay.
There's a lot of things we've got to do. I mean, it's old.
I presume what you said was the old business you were alluding to earlier?
Yeah, it was the
okay, fine. So we covered that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Right.
Are you sure?
We got more than that.
All right. All right. The agenda looks covered.
All right. Most new agenda.
Oh, yes, sir.
Hi, Paul. I'm Charlie Shaw, and Jeannie and I have lived here for 38 years. And Jim, I want to thank you for asking the right kind of questions. So if you don't ask those questions and address the, where's the money going to and how did we get it, this thing will deteriorate to the lowest level of acceptance. We don't want that. So thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, Art.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll take a second.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.